Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together. Stranded, I'm so far from home. Stranded,
yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded. Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Kot. My co-host is Jim DeRogatis. And if you want to be the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon. Like Paul McCarthy, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. Ooh. Listening to the show and chipping in with some much appreciated funds. Thank you for your support, Paul. We really appreciate it. We have so much music to get to every week. We can't possibly cram it all into the regular show, hence the bonus podcast. Jim, what are you going to play for us this week?
Greg, I am going to play a rather obscure track by a rather obscure British band. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of them. But anyway, I'll enlighten you.
All right, we're going to hear more about that in a minute on Sound Opinions. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
We're back, Jim. What songs are you going to add to the Desert Island Jukebox today?
I believe you do know the Beatles band.
I've heard of them. Yes, faintly rings a bell.
When we have talked in recent years about Get Back, the epic documentary about the making of the album that broke up the Beatles, or when we've talked about the endless, ever pricier reissues and box sets and remixes and reimaginings of the Beatles catalog, we have often made the observation, why haven't they given us Revolver? The very best, in my opinion, album in the Beatles catalog. I know it's up in your top two or three as well. All real Beatles fans say, you know, Revolver is the one, right? So just in time for the holidays last year, we got the epic Beatles box set for Revolver. Mm-hmm. The new Giles Martin stereo mix of the album, newly beautifully pressed mono mix. You know, I put it on my Christmas list and Santa Claus, aka Carmel, got me the box, right? Now, I've always scoffed at, you know, you got the album in one great format. That's all you need, mm-hmm. right? But I don't know. I lusted after this. I've got the cover of Revolver tattooed on my right arm. Okay, I got it for Christmas. Beautiful hardcover book. Incredible photographs. What's amazing about the photographs of the Beatles in the studio during the making of Revolver is they are clearly stoned out of their gourds, right? There's not a single picture without pinned eyeballs of any of the four, right? You know, there is no video, they say definitively in the book, because you and I have griped for a long time. I don't want to see the making of Let It Be. I want to see the making of Revolver. There's no video in the studio, right? There are these great photographs. There are lots of wonderful stories. And there are many alternate takes of these songs in development where, you know, for the first time after touring for years and with unlimited time and freedom in the recording studio at Abbey Road with George Martin to follow ideas and pursue loose strains they never would have had time for before, even in the making of Rubber Soul. You know, you hear them say, let's do a Motown ditty, right? And then it goes through many iterations. Do the songs work? Do the horns work? Do they not work? And suddenly Got to Get You Into My Life, which is McCartney saying how much he missed never having marijuana in his life and how much he was enjoying it now. A really slow and even creepier and more psychedelic Tomorrow Never Knows. Yellow Submarine starting as this sad, you know, John Lennon crying in his tea about, you know, lonely me, I grew up with, yeah, without a real mom. But the song I'm going to really highlight wasn't even on Revolver. I made the point way back in episode 117. This, we just taped 894. This is 2008. We did a Revolver classic album dissection. Released shortly after the album itself was the incredible double A-side single, Paperback Writer, which was in many ways inspired by the Beach Boys. You hear the inspirations much more in the early takes. McCartney is trying to do a Marianne Faithfull song, and that becomes For No One. Okay?
Right.
You know, you hear the inspirations loud and clear. Where Rain comes from, though, I don't know. You know, Paperback Writer's clearly Beach Boys. Rain is from Mars. They recorded it at double the tempo, much faster, which is amazing because Ringo has always said it is the drum performance he is proudest of. It is incredibly intricate, essentially a nonstop fill throughout the song, but always propulsive and never indulgent. It ain't Keith Moon, it's Ringo. McCartney backing him up on bass, incredibly harmonic. So this double speed version is slowed down at half the speed, becomes even more psychedelic. And, you know, this sent me back down the black hole that I haven't been in since Kaleidoscope Eyes, my first book, The History of Psychedelic Rock, a.k.a. Turn On Your Mind, came out two different times. You know, I had read, and now I cannot remember where I read, because being a only amateur academic, I did not footnote this, that Lennon was inspired in the lyrics of Rain by his reading of philosopher Alan Watts. Alan Watts was this fascinating character who was an English writer, speaker, self-styled, psychedelic, philosophical entertainer, who would translate, popularize the ideas of Japanese, Chinese, Indian religions and traditions into, you know, 60s stoner garb, right? We know that Lennon read and devoured the psychedelic experience, Timothy Leary's rewriting of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and that's where Tomorrow Never Knows came from. But Rain, I've always believed, and I don't know where I got this, wound up having me read a lot of Alan Watts. Alan Watts' lectures from the 60s used to be broadcast like Sunday nights at midnight on WFMU, the famous freeform radio station in Jersey. So I'd hear Alan Watts talking and, ooh, what is this about? There's a quote, "The sound of the rain needs no translation. In music, one doesn't make the end of the composition the point of the composition." That seems very much to be part of the single Rain, part of what the Beatles were experiencing in their psychedelic explorations during the making of Revolver, part of this incredible song. I just love this song to pieces. And, you know, this is one that, like, the deep Beatles fans know.
Yeah.
But you ain't hearing this on Beatles Breakfast on FM radio every Sunday morning, right? You know, you just you never hear Tomorrow Never Knows. So what the heck? We don't always have to be obscure when we do one of these desert islands. Now, you might ask me, is it worth the $17,000 to buy this new box set? I don't know. I got it as a Christmas present. I'm glad I had it.
I bought it with my own cash
money.
Did you?
With your cash money?
Yeah, I go, I have to have this.
But you know, we're never going to listen. Having listened once to the alternate takes and the in-studio chatter and all that, are you ever going to listen to those again?
Well, you know, I'm glad it's there, but you're right. You're not going to go back. It's just like
once.
With the Pet Sounds box. You're not
right.
going to listen to Brian instruct any musicians
no,
over
the barbershop
and over again.
Quartet harmonies they're rehearsing.
But I did want to see how the songs were evolving, and
yeah.
that's what you're getting to.
Yes,
is
yes.
that the idea that you're hearing how their brains are moving during this period.
Well,
you know?
And you know, it is reassuring, these guys having been etched in stone on the face of Mount Rockmore, as you and I say
yeah.
in our book, The Beatles versus the Stones, right? You know, they're gods. They're no longer mere musicians. Some of those early versions are incredibly awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, you hear a garage band making horrible mistakes and laughing at each other.
Yeah, and it's it shows the humanity of them.
They're
you know, it takes the process is fascinating to see. They start from nothing and they turn it into a masterpiece.
At least once.
Know?
But now, you know, they could have had a smaller box with the book.
Mm.
Now, and the reason, Rain, right, they have a reproduction of the original Rain paperback writer single,
mm-hmm.
which is really nice to have.
Yeah, yeah.
Really nice to have on vinyl. Then they have the vinyl versions, both mono and stereo, right? Okay, great. That could have been the entire box set. And they could have, as a bonus, given us a stream, you know, one or two times, stream all the extra stuff.
Right.
Because that's all you need to hear it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once.
Right.
Once or twice, and you're done. Unless you're writing a book about the Beatles. And then why none of my Beatles books? I'm hauling 20 of them off the shelf. Where I got the Alan Watts thing, it might not even be true. But, you know, Watts was a big believer of the psychedelic experience makes the ephemera of life a rainstorm,
mm-hmm.
a gust of wind, the sun dawning
mm-hmm.
or setting, an almost religious and profound experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the song is about.
Right.
So if John Lennon actually didn't read Alan Watts, although it's hard to believe he didn't, I hear Alan Watts, and hey, what the heck? We can't ask John. I'm saying Alan Watts inspired Rain by the Beatles. Here it is. And so, Rain by the Beatles, we just said things that no doubt 17,000, the same cost of the box set, Beatles fans will correct us on.
It doesn't matter. We love it. You
almost
know?
Don't want to talk about the Beatles anymore because such is the cultism of the many legions of
the minutia.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Mark Lewisohn being, you know, first and foremost.
Yeah.
We'll call Mark up and say, hey, Mark, what did we get wrong?
Yeah, but, I don't know. We've talked to him.
Yeah.
And we've talked to Jeff Emmerich, the engineer in those sessions.
Absolutely.
And hey, we're still, I mean, it still makes me a fan. I still have the same thrill when I hear Revolver as I did the very first time. That's rare. A lot of Beatles I never need to hear again.
Well, it's one of those albums from the 60s. I hate to talk like this
the 60s,
to the kids
both
out
the
there.
The V and the S capitalized.
Because it's easy to loathe baby boomer culture and the 60s, et cetera,
yeah.
And I get that. But man, you put this album on and it still sounds of its time, but also of this time as well.
It still sounds futuristic.
It sounds relevant.
Well, you know, this is bad dad confession. When Melody was a kid, I don't know, 5 or 6, right, she discovered a Beatles song, you know, and, I like this band, right? So, Evil Dad plays Tomorrow Never Knows. And she cried. She cried. But, you know,
get
part
it
of
off,
the...
Dad, make
oh,
it stop.
What is this? Oh, my God. Right, but part of the, you know, that, and that's the side of the Beatles you don't hear enough of. That power, that mystery, that awe, you know, has all been robbed from us by the over-familiarity.
Yeah, and certain songs are overly familiar, too familiar, but a song
but
like Rain,
Rain.
Yeah. That is it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. To support Sound Opinions, become a member on Patreon and connect with other listeners in our Facebook group. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our associate producer Sol Delgadillo, and our intern Lauren Holt. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.